I am happy to be here tonight. It's always good to be able to try and stand for the Lord. I don't feel like that I ever do the best job that I could, but I do try, and I do ask for your prayers tonight. I think most everybody here knows me, but if you don't, as the brother said, my name's David Witte, and I grew up at Old Union. I was saved there in the summer of 1982 on the front bench. I acknowledged my call to preach in July of 2004. I say acknowledged my call. The Lord had been dealing with me about it for 5 years or so, and I was running from it. And some may think, well, how could you run from preaching for 5 years? Well, I don't know. I just did. And I'd always tell myself, God really doesn't want you. Sometimes I'd tell God, you really don't want me. And I'd look at some other male out at Old Union, some other man, and I'd say, you ought to call them. Now, there's your preacher right there. And the Lord would continually press upon me. And more than once, he let me know, he said, David, you've got something very special that I gave you. I saved your soul, and I want you to tell everybody about it. I want you to stand and preach my word. And so in July of 2004, during a summer revival at Old Union, I finally acknowledged that call to preach. And Brother Skinner come up to me and said, you're preaching Sunday night, the last night of the revival. I've been trying to preach ever since then. And I've pastored two churches, pastored Drake's Creek for 3 years, and I pastored a church up in Glasgow, Grider Memorial Baptist Church, for a little over a year. And I'm happy to be here tonight, and I do ask for your prayers. I the Lord never ceases to amaze me, and I know that I've been disappointing to Him. At least I feel like I've been disappointing to Him many times in my life, but the Lord just never ceases to amaze me, and I'll give you a case in point. There was a few years ago, that when I was pastor at Drake's Creek, the Lord gave me two sermons. And there was only one service. And I can remember thinking to myself, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I need to pray. And so I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know that you've gave me two sermons, but there's only one service, and I don't know which one to pick. A few minutes later, well, maybe a few hours later, I got a phone call. And the phone call was from a member out at church. And her young stepson, had just been killed in a car wreck. And they asked me to preach the funeral. And this boy had never come to Drake's Creek when I was there. And from what I understood, he didn't have a testimony. And they were asking me to preach it, and I felt obligated that I needed to stand. And I thought to myself, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. And I hung up the phone with her, and as soon as I hung up the phone, the Lord said, that's why I gave you two sermons. That's a true story. And I'm going to be preaching on some things tonight. I guess I didn't think I was going to open with this, but I felt the need to sort of go there because I'm going to be preaching on some things tonight that you're only going to be able to identify with what I'm saying if you've been saved by God's grace. Because there is a difference between God's people and the rest of the world. Now, there is a difference. And sometimes maybe the way that we live or the way that we act or the way that we speak about others, it's hard to see that difference. And that falls squarely on each and every one of us. Because I can tell you right now, it's not God's fault. God is without fault. And so if we ever find ourselves caught up in the world, if we ever find ourselves speaking with a type of language that's inappropriate and would be like someone that's out in the world, or if we find ourselves just doing things that only people in the world do, and here we are saved by God's grace, that's on us. It's on us. And we can try to make all the excuses that we want to make, but let me tell you, they may pass by in this world, but God is not going to sit there and let us have any excuses. It's all just going to come from His grace. You see, it doesn't matter how many times I stand and preach the gospel. It doesn't matter. I used to teach Sunday school at Old Union, and it don't matter how many Sunday school lessons that I taught. Before I taught Sunday school, and I'm glad that I see Sister Paulita here tonight, but before I taught Sunday school, when I was just a little guy, I was part of her youth group. Out at Old Union that her and Joey used to have. And it don't matter how many times that I went to a youth meeting or anything like that. The only thing that's going to take me to heaven is what happened to me that night in the summer of 1982 on the front bench of Old Union when the Lord saved my soul. That's the only thing. And people will sit there and they'll talk about a moment in time. And how this one moment in your life might define you for years to come. Well, let me tell you, that one moment right there in time in my life, that changed my whole eternity right there. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about something tonight, and I apologize, I'm struggling with this microphone here. I'm not used to one of these. But I'm talking about something tonight that is real. And it's true, and I think that that it's up to us to live our lives in a way that shows this forth to a lost and dying world. And so I'm going to ask you to turn over to 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. And I'm going to read the last few verses of this 4th chapter, and then I'm going to get into the 5th chapter a little bit. This is something that I got to studying on just a couple of weeks or so ago, and I got to thinking and about it, and it's one of those where I've read this book many times before, but this time something just a little bit different stuck out to me. And so starting with the 15th verse in the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And I'm going to stop right there, and I want to draw our attention here in the beginning to that first verse in that 5th chapter. And I'm going to read it again. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." The part that stuck out to me when I was studying this a couple weeks or so ago was those first three words in that first verse. "For we know." The Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, was making a strong statement there. He says, for we know. We know. And so it doesn't say, for we think. It doesn't say, maybe this or maybe that. It doesn't say that we're hoping with our fingers crossed or anything like that. It says, for we know. And so I want to ask you tonight, because if you're here and you're saved by grace, then you know what I'm going to be talking about tonight. You're going to have an understanding. But if there'd be anyone here that's not saved, they might not understand this. As a matter of fact, they might not. They won't. They won't understand it because they don't know. You see, they haven't had an experience with God. I talked a moment ago about when I was saved by God's grace, and that wasn't something to where I sat there and repeated a prayer. That wasn't something where Brother Paul Bryson just told me that I had prayed enough and that was good enough and to get up and come join Old Union. That wasn't something to where either one of my parents told me, okay, you've suffered enough. Get up. It wasn't anything like that at all. I prayed till the burden went away. I prayed till I had an experience with God to where He's the one that had let me know that I was lost in my sins and on the way to hell. And He's the one that let me know that my sins were wiped away and I was now on my way to heaven. You see, it's an experience with God. And so when I read this here and it talks about this earthly house of this tabernacle being dissolved, it says that there is a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like. And I can't, the Bible says that in this flesh and with this mind that I have and with these eyes that I've got that I can't possibly comprehend it all. But I can tell you this, I know that I'm going there. I know I am. You see, Paul said that we know this is the way it's going to be. We know this exists. We know this is true. We know that the promises that God has made to His people are real. And they're not going to be pushed aside by any man. They're not going to be destroyed by the devil or anything like that. Because God has overcome all that. Jesus come into this world, and He overcomes sin. The Bible says that He is the first fruits of them that risen. And one day, if the Lord don't come back first, this body that you see before you is going to go to the grave, and I'm going to be buried up there in Old Union Cemetery. But the Lord's going to come back one day, and He's going to take me to this earthly house. He's going to take me to this building of God. He's going to take me to this place that He has reserved for me. That's eternal in the heavens. And I know it's there because I'm saved by God's grace. I know it's there because I've got this experience with the Lord. And if you just would turn back to that fourth chapter just for a second, I want to talk a little bit just about the evidence that we have of these things. Now it says in that 16th verse, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You see, all we can see is the outward man. You know, you look and you all look at me right now and you can see this outward man, and I can stare back at all of you and I see the outward part of you, the fleshly part of you. And there's proof here that this outward man that's standing before you exists and he's alive. I can put my hand on my heart and my heart beats. It's a sign of life that my heart is beating. I can use these physical eyes that I have, and I can look at and I can see every single one of you, and I can see this church building. And so, you know, if I was a dead man physically, I wouldn't have a heart that was beating. I wouldn't have that eyes that would work. I can hear with my ears. You see, all these things are evidence or are proof that this outward man is alive and functioning. But it says that the outward man perishes. And so even though this outward man before you is alive and functioning, yet in that state, this physical state, I'm perishing. Every second that goes by of that clock sitting back there on the wall, every second that goes by, I'm one tick closer to eternity. And so are you. So are you. It's not like I'm the only one here that's going to die. It's not that way. You know, we're all gonna pass from this life one day. And so, you know, we've got life in these physical bodies now, but yet the Bible says that they're perishing. And that's talking about the outward man. But the inward man, it talks about, it says that it's renewed day by day. You know what I think that means? I think as this outward flesh just dissolves, it just perishes, it fails us as we get older. Yet if we're walking with the Lord like what we should, the inward man gets stronger as we go on in this life. The inward man grows closer to the Lord. The inward man, the faith increases of the inward man. The witness that can come forth from the inward man grows each and every day just a little bit stronger if we're doing the things that we should do. And so, you know, some might say, well, you know, you don't have any proof of that inward man. Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. I've got plenty of proof. You see, the thing is that I've got a physical heart that I talked to you about that's beaten. I've got a spiritual heart also. It's called my soul. And it's as real as anything that exists. What I've got in here, it's real. I feel life in it. You know, I mentioned a few minutes ago, you could put your hand on my chest, you could feel my heart beating. You could put your hand on your own chest, and you feel that heart beating. Well, let me tell you something. That heartbeat, that's a sign of life. Well, I can feel things inside my soul when the Lord stirs me up, and it's a sign of life, brothers and sisters. I know that I've got something in there. And let me tell you, this, and I love God's Word, and you know one of the I love it for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I love God's Word is because it continually proves what I feel inside. I want you to, if you don't mind, to turn to 1 Peter. If you don't want to turn, just listen to what this verse says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I talk about the life inside of us. Listen to what this says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that lively hope is Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. And let me tell you something. When I feel life in my soul, it is the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious Holy Spirit dwelling within me. The Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I thank the Lord for that. You know, there's been times I've been tore all to pieces about the things of this world. And I took things to God in prayer. And that Spirit bore witness and gave me comfort and let me know everything was going to be okay. I was sitting up in New York City. My wife's in the hospital. They just wheeled her back for brain surgery. And I am all by myself. And I walked back to the room that I was, or that we were staying in. And I walked back, and I was, I mean, just think how you'd feel if the one person that you loved more than anybody in this world had just been wheeled back for brain surgery, and I was tore all to pieces about what was going on. And I knelt down at the corner of that bed, and I started praying for God to watch over her and take care of her, and if it be His will to let her pull through that surgery. And I want you to know that the Lord was in that room up in New York City, and the Spirit come down and touched my heart, and the Lord said, David, she's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. And I had such peace and comfort that I just got up off my knees, crawled up in that bed, and went to sleep for 3 hours. I did. I took a nap. I took a nap. I couldn't have done that without the peace that the Lord gave me. I couldn't have done that without the Lord working there. And I'll tell you, the Lord, He's everywhere. He was there in New York. I know He was at Old Union this morning during the service. They had a wonderful service. I believe He's here tonight. I was on an airplane one time, 30,000 feet in air. The Lord moved me to share my testimony with the lady sitting next to me. I'm telling you, that brings me to my next thing here. You know, I talked earlier about I've got these physical ears that can hear. Well, I've got a spiritual ear too. One that hears when the Lord speaks to me. One that hears when the Lord lets me know the things that I'm supposed to do, when I'm supposed to share my testimony, or what I'm supposed to preach on, and you may think, well, you know, how does this apply to me? I'm not a preacher. Let me tell you, if you're a child of God, everything I'm preaching tonight applies to you. It does, because you've got the spiritual heart. You've got the soul that's been saved by grace. You've got the spiritual ears. The Lord, I know, has leaned on you before to share your testimony or request a song or go talk to a lost person. And so those are signs of life that are within us. Those are signs of the spiritual life that we have. A lost person don't do those things. A lost person's not moved to do those things. Let me tell you something. I have seen people before that they weren't saved, and they didn't have any care for these things. But once the Lord come in and saved their soul, they get down right there on the altar with their friends. I've seen young people do this before. After they got saved, what did they do? They turned right around and got back down on the altar and started praying for their friends. You see, something changed. And what changed is that lively hope that we read about right there. That lively hope become a part of us. It become an eternal part of us. And so we look here tonight and we talk about these things just for a little bit. And hopefully you're getting something out of this. Hopefully something said or done tonight will give honor and glory to God. You know, we got spiritual eyes too. I talked about the physical eyes. We got spiritual eyes. The Bible talks about that the world, they don't understand spiritual things. They don't see spiritual things for what they are. And the Bible talks that it says they're not spiritually discerned, that they lack discernment. In other words, they're unable to distinguish things. You know, there's been times in my life, and I'm not trying to just stand up here and talk about myself tonight one bit. I hope nobody's taking it like that. I'm just trying to preach it as it comes to me. But there's been times in my life that I've been around something. I've been around a situation. It just been around a group of people. I don't know. And the Lord's just, He sort of shown me, you need to move on. That's not a spot you need to be at. Not every time I understood it, but the Lord showed me that.
You know, the Lord also, when I'm right with Him and I'm living with Him or living for Him the way that I should, you know, He'll show me just the vanity that's in this world. How just empty it really is. And so many times, and I find myself doing this from time to time. If I'm not careful, before I know it, I'll find myself starting to chase after a few things in the world every now and then. But then the Lord will come along, and He'll show it to me. And He'll say, you know, look at what you're spending your time and your efforts on. Those are things that are going to perish. You know, Jesus, I can't remember if it was Mary or Martha, but excuse me for that, but Jesus told one of those two sisters, said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. And so, you know, we can sit here and if we take a look at this and understand what this is trying to say, it says that we know these things, that we know that the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. And so we come on down. It says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who has also given us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit, the promise of what's to come. The promise of that's what that earnest is it's a promise. Think of it as like a small taste or a down payment of what's to come. And so each and every one of us that have been saved, we have this earnest of the Spirit in us. It says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're confident. Paul started this off by saying, we know. And now he's saying that we're confident of these things. We're confident, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We know these things are true. We know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We know that when a man gets up and preaches the gospel, if the Spirit's in it, that we can feel the Spirit, and that we know that the Spirit is true. We know that the words that are being preached are true. The Bible says once again that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And so we know these things, and we know them not because of what some man might have told us. We know them because we had an experience with God. Amen. You see, I'm just telling you, and I know that you know this, but I can remember when I was a little boy, my parents would tell me things that I already knew them, and I'd say, I know. And then I got older, I was glad they'd remind me of those things from time to time. And I might be standing up here tonight, and you're saying, I know, preacher, I know. But you know what? Hopefully, if not tonight, then one day down the road, you'll think back to this night and you'll be like, well, I'm glad he preached on that. Because the thing is that we know these things to be true. We know we have a home in heaven. We know that salvation is real. We know that God is real. We know that Noah built an ark. We know that Abraham just packed everything up and just traveled, really not knowing exactly where he was going to go, but the Lord just impressed on him to do that. You know, we know that David slayed the giant. All these things that, and we can sit here and talk about them all night, and I'd be happy to do that if anybody wants to stay. But I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that we know these things. We know them because because we're saved. I don't know what all you've achieved in your life in the way of this world. Maybe a great deal, maybe just a little. I don't know. There might be a member of this church, maybe a young member that grow up and be a scientist one day and find a cure for cancer. I don't know. It might become president, might become a great doctor. Whatever endeavor, whatever things that one may accomplish in this life, I promise you that nothing means more, nothing lasts more, and nothing's more important than salvation. Cancer, diabetes, all these other diseases that afflict us in this life, there'll be no more. There'll be no more. As I close, I want to remind you of what Paul said in that first verse. He said, "For we know." If you're here tonight and you're saved, thank God that you know. Give all the thanks and glory to God that you know. Beyond any doubt that you know. Amen. That's all I got, brother.